Our next guest on Downtown Broadcast Baseball for ESPN for the Toronto Blue Jays. He's a former National Sportscaster of the Year and the host of a terrific new podcast, A Swing and a Belt. Dan Schulman joins us on the program. Dan, good afternoon.
Hi, Rich. How you doing?
Doing great. Awesome to have you back on the program with us. Talk a little bit about the inspiration and the idea behind A Swing and a Belt.
Well, my boss approached me about 3-4 weeks ago. This thing all came together pretty quickly and asked me if I had ever thought about doing a podcast. The answer was no. And he talked to me about, you know, how they're growing, how popular they are, what I have an interest. And you've told me via Twitter that you've listened to it a little bit, so you've probably heard my son is involved to
yeah.
a certain extent. And that was one of the hooks. My boss said, I know how to get you to do it. He goes, every host needs a sidekick. Every one needs a two. And he said, how about getting your son involved? My son's 17. He's going to Syracuse next year to study broadcasting. So it really started with them coming to me. And the name of Swing and a Belt, Tom Cheek, the longtime former voice of the Blue Jays, passed away some years ago, just before, on Joe Carter's World Series winning home run in 1993, as Carter swings, the first thing you hear is a swing and a belt. The more famous part is, touch them all, Joe, you'll never hit a bigger home run in your life, which is such a great call. But you know, I kind of grew up on Tom's calls and, as you know, grew up in Toronto and used to do the Blue Jays. Now I've come back to do some Blue Jays again. So I wanted people to know there would be a distinct Blue Jay and Canadian feel to it. Not all the segments are Toronto or Canada. This week I did a Jackie Robinson episode and had CeCe Sabathia, Chris Archer, Bob Kendrick, the president of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. So there's a mix of both local stuff and general baseball stuff in there. But it's been interesting. I've only put out two. This is all new to me, but I'm having fun with it.
Well, it's terrific. Very inside information on baseball, but the people that make the game so interesting. And I really enjoyed the CeCe Sabathia conversation. Learned a lot about him that I didn't know.
That's what I'm trying to do. There are so many great people doing podcasts right now, and I tried to think about what my angle could be or what I would try to bring out of people. And it's weekly, so I'm not looking to make it, you know, super timely and topical because things change so quickly in baseball. It's such a daily sport. So my pitch to them, once they came to me and said, are you interested in doing it, was, you know, everybody's got a story. Let's find out about what makes people tick. So, you know, the CC one was one of my favorite interviews to do. And I had no idea we were going to do this till we did this. But the first 3 minutes, we're talking about Star Wars because he's got a podcast of his own called R2C2. And we got into that. And Ryan Rucco, CC Sabathia, that's where the initials come from. But I said, is there an underlying like Star Wars message or theme here? And he goes, oh, yeah, I'm a huge Star Wars fan. And then we wound up talking about Star Wars. And he was gracious enough to allow me to ask him about when he stepped away from the game a few years ago to deal with an alcohol issue. So, you know, there's fun stuff, there's serious stuff, but with all the guests, I'm, trying to take people behind the scenes a little bit.
Well, there are some great stories in the early part of this baseball season, including a couple of rookie managers who are pretty hot out of the gate, Mickey Callaway and, of course, Alex Cora in Boston.
Yeah, I love Mickey Callaway. I thought he was a great hire, and I know it's unusual to have a pitching coach become a manager. There aren't that many of them, Bud Black, or a pitcher become a manager, but by the pitching coach route, Bud Black is one of them. But I thought Mickey Callaway was a great hire, and I was a big Terry Collins fan. I don't want people to take it the wrong way. I thought Terry Collins was, didn't get the benefit of the doubt in a lot of things, and I think he took a lot of grief for things that weren't his fault. But Callaway just comes from that Cleveland pipeline where they've built such a good culture there under Chris Antonetti and under Terry Francona. And listen, for the Mets, it's all going to be about keeping those starters healthy. I mean, if DeGrom and Syndergaard and Harvey and Mats are healthy, and if Harvey's decent, they're going to be a good team. You know, they're not this good. Nobody's this good, but it's a really nice story. And Alex Cora is another guy that I think a lot of people looked at for a while and said he's going to be a future big league manager. And they're swinging the bats great right now. And Porcello looks really good. And Sale, the starting pitching, by and large, other than the game where Price had to come out after one inning, has been terrific. And the American League looks like it has some powerhouse teams in it right now. The way the Red Sox are playing, the way the Angels are playing, the gap between the haves and the have-nots looks like it could be pretty wide in the American.
Although the Blue Jays are playing some very good baseball, off to a good start, having won, I believe, 7 of their last 10.
Say that. You cut out for a sec. Who were you talking about again?
The Blue Jays.
The Blue Jays. Yeah, I'm sorry. You cut out for just a second when you were saying the team name. So the Blue Jays are playing well. You know, they are. It's funny because I think they sometimes get kind of overlooked south of the border, and they were coming off a disappointing year last year. And they went out and made some interesting moves. They didn't bring in stars, but they brought in, by and large, better guys than they had in those positions last year. Jaime Garcia to be a number five starter. Yanhervis Solarte, who's been really important to the team early at second base, third base. Curtis Granderson's off to a great start. Aledmys Diaz was brought in as insurance for a Troy Tulowitzki injury, and Tulowitzki hasn't played and is on a 60-day DL, and he's having trouble coming back from ankle surgery. Randall Grichuk, who hasn't hit yet, but they like, you know, they like what they think they he can bring them in right field. So I think they're an interesting team. Their starting pitching is really good. And again, I don't know how many people in the States could name their rotation or whatever the case may be, but you've got Aaron Sanchez, Marcus Stroman, Jay Happ, Marco Estrada, and Jaime Garcia. There's no Chris Sale in the group, but 1 through 5, it's pretty good. I think the biggest issue for them in the early going, to be honest with you, is the Angels. The way Ohtani is going and the way the Angels are playing, you know, you got to assume Houston's going to win the West or at least get into the playoffs somehow. Obviously, somebody wins the Central, and then the Blue Jays have to deal with the Yankees and the Red Sox in the East. So, you know, the Angels being as good as they are is an early complication for the Blue Jays if they wind up competing for a wild card spot.
We're talking with Dan Shulman here on Downtown. You mentioned Ohtani. What a great story that is. It's certainly been everything baseball fans hoped for and more through the first couple of weeks.
It's amazing. I was there last Monday doing the game for ESPN when he hit his first home run, and you know, we all saw how much he struggled in spring training, both on the mound and at the plate. I thought he'd adjust pretty quickly on the mound. They made some nice concessions for him, six-man rotation and so forth. But the way he has swung the bat, 3 homers and the bases-clearing triple last night, none of us have ever seen this, ever. The last time a guy tried to do this to this extent in the major leagues was Babe Ruth. And I'm not in any way, shape, or form saying he's Babe Ruth. He's not Babe Ruth. But the Angels look like they've really found themselves something. And, you know, we all were so, negative about them in the spring. Or a lot of people were so negative about them in the spring. And now, of course, everybody's on the bandwagon, and he's a star. And the truth is probably somewhere in the middle, probably closer to this version. I mean, he's really good. But if they can get 27 starts out of him, and I think he's only going to get 250 to 300 at bats the way that it's going. But if he can give them a productive 250 to 300 bats, I mean, they have found themselves quite a player. And, you know, they also picked up Zach Kozar, and they also picked up Ian Kinsler, and they got themselves a pretty good team right now if the rest of the rotation can do a reasonable job.
Dan, over in the National League, who do you think are a couple of teams that it might make a bit of a challenge to the big three of Washington, Chicago, L.A.?
Well, I think the National League West is really interesting. And Arizona, you know, a playoff team last year and lost to the Dodgers in the division series. I mean, I think they've got a really interesting team. They're going to hit. In that ballpark, they're going to hit. The middle of their order is really good. And like so many teams, it just comes down to the pitching. I think they're a team to keep an eye on. We talked about the Mets already, obviously. I like Colorado. The big question for Colorado for me is their starting pitching. I think they've got a deep, talented, versatile bullpen, and they're going to hit. It's whether over the course of 162 games those young arms can hold up and be as be as good in August, September as they can be in April, May. So I think they're going to make noise again. Pittsburgh is interesting, off to a great start. To me, it doesn't feel sustainable. Maybe not as much doom and gloom after Cole and McCutchen left as there has been. But I think that's the group that I'm looking at. Although Milwaukee, you know, they've got Yelich on the DL right now, but Milwaukee went out and really got after it in the offseason, getting Kane and Yelich. And like so many other teams, it'll come down to pitching. In their case, I think it's the starting pitching. I think they're going to challenge for a playoff spot. The National League, to me, has more teams kind of in that middle class or upper middle class. I could see 5-6 teams competing for the wild card spots in the National League. I don't see that in the American League. I see more of a separation between top and bottom.
Dan, you made the decision to step away from the Sunday night baseball gig. You're still doing a lot of baseball, but certainly a more manageable schedule. Do you feel like you found the balance in your life that you were looking for?
I do, and I don't want to bore people with my personal life. But, yeah, I've been on the road a ton, and with college basketball too, just working weekends almost 52 weeks a year. And so I'm getting remarried in a few weeks and just wanted to be home a little bit more, and was fortunate enough to reconnect with the Blue Jays and start doing some games here again. I'm doing about 50 games, but most of them are home games. So still doing a few games here and there for ESPN, still doing my college hoops for ESPN. But yeah, it's much different. You know, you've been in, you get in one routine for so long, and then everything changes. And I find my preparation is different. My focus on, yeah, you know, like in past years, Cubs, Cardinals, Dodgers, these were major, major teams on my schedule. And now, barring the unforeseen, I'm not going to see those teams this year. But all of a sudden, you know, Tampa Bay and Texas and Kansas City and those teams are on my schedule. So, you know, your preparation is much different. And now that I'm doing the Jays again and doing more games, like if I'm not home to watch the game, I DVR the game, like I got to know what's going on day by day with the Blue Jays, which is new. So it's a different kind of preparation, but, you know, having a change sometimes is refreshing.
Absolutely. Well, Dan, we enjoy still hearing you on ESPN. Love the podcast, A Swing and a Belt. Always great to talk with you. Thanks so much for making time for us today.
All right, Rich. Appreciate it. Take care.
That's Dan Shulman with us on Downtown.